When the Alaska Native Brotherhood formed in 1912, Alaska Natives were not U.S. citizens, couldn't own title to land, and couldn't send their children to local schools. The aim of the group was citizenship and equality. Peter Metcalf says AMB was starting to make progress in the 1920s.
They had one rights for education, voting rights, but what is consistent throughout the history of the Alaska Native Brotherhood is their demand that they be equals with the white establishment, that they have what we now call civil rights, and that wasn't even a term at that time.
Two important leaders of the A&B in the 1920s were Peter Simpson and William Paul. Cultural expert and storyteller Ishmael Hope recounts an exchange they had during the 1925 A&B convention. Hope says Simpson
went up to William Paul, who was one of the very prominent young leaders of the time, and he just quietly said to him, "Hey, Willie, who owns this land?" And then there was a little bit of a pause as William Paul thought of it, and then he said, "Well, we do. Then fight for it."
By the 1929 AMB-ANS Grand Camp Convention in Haines, Paul was grand president. Metcalf says Paul invited James Wickersham, who had served as a district judge and Alaska's delegate to Congress.
Judge Wickersham made a presentation to this convention in which he told the assembled delegates of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood that they could sue the U.S. government.
During his time in D.C., Wickersham had seen Congress pass different jurisdictional acts, allowing various Native American groups to sue the government over lost lands and rights. AMB and ANS voted to do just that. Kathy Ruddy helped Metcalf with research for the book. She says that moment in history was the genesis of the book's title.
The dangerous idea is suing your own government when you've only been citizens for 5 years. The citizenship was extended to the Native people in 1924, and this is just 5 years after that.
Metcalf says it was a landmark decision. In the early 1930s, A&B began fighting for Aboriginal land claims in D.C. Metcalf says members of the A&B set aside traditional ways in order to achieve their goals. Leaders spoke English and adapted to Western ways of dress and social activities. But Hope says, despite what they wore at the time, leaders of the A&B, like his grandfather, John Hope, retained their Native culture, which helped them in their fight.
My grandpa talked about how we used parliamentary procedure. We used the English language as a tool, but not a means of identity. Many of the A&B founders, you look at them and you think the stereotype is that they're assimilated Indians. But you actually look into the history and you see deeply retained cultural knowledge, cultural experience.
Hope's father, Andrew Hope III, was the impetus for a dangerous idea. It was his idea to apply for a grant through the Alaska Humanities Forum, which funded the research. Hope passed away shortly after the grant was awarded in 2008. One important case stemming from that 1929 decision, Tlingit and Haida Indians of Alaska versus the United States, took about 40 years to resolve. In 1968, a federal court held that the land was owned by Native people from time immemorial. Metcalf says without the A&B and the ANS, there wouldn't have been an Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, an Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act of 1980, or the Alaska of today. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.